It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years. And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you. It's a Modelo Friday. I reward myself with a bucket of Modelos every Friday. I don't have to drink them all. You better believe it. It's another gorgeous day in Vegas. I'm watching the Dodger Parade. It's a gorgeous day in L.A. as the Dodgers are celebrating a world championship a week ago. A week ago today, I was in L.A. I was off for game one of the World Series. And, man, that was a long time ago, man. That was a really long time ago in dog years for me. Man, last Friday in L.A. at a L.A. Dodger bar, right around this time, noon. I'm waiting for the gates to open up at 2. My son and I and Tom Looney, who I did a podcast this morning with, congratulating the Dodgers. How about that? If you go to JT and Looney, wherever you download your podcast, we did about 20, 25 minutes. That's a podcast. We don't want to do 45, 50. You don't have time on a Friday for that. But if you want to hear me tip my cap to the Dodgers, it's right up there. And the Raiders got the Bengals, and we're going to dive into that. I'm wearing my Vegas Golden Knight hoodie today. I love the Vegas Golden Knights. Bobby works the broadcast there. And it should be a fun weekend. My family's in town, which is great. Now my son's in town from college. My other son's obviously here. Wife and I went out to dinner last night with my best friend's mom and sister. So my best friend didn't come. He was traveling. His mom came. We had a beautiful dinner on the Strip. And they're going to Adele tonight and the Eagles tomorrow. How about that? People flying in from Florida to go see Adele, who's magical, and then the Eagles at the Sphere. Man, we got a lot going on out here in Vegas. Oh, and F1's around the corner. I embrace F1, but no one knows how to do F1 on the radio. Isn't that wild? No one can. We can't do F1. I can't do like 20 minutes and interview a driver because you don't know anything about it. Kind of like no one can do European soccer, which I love, because no one would care. So we just really just do football during football season, college and pro. We put on gambling experts, insiders. Today we have Vic Taffer. Always good to have Vic every other Friday. So Vic's going to join us. Mark Jones is going to check in from the Black Hole. We got an announcement on the Black Hole along with me and the Black Hole coming up from Miami. We want to tell you about that on this show. And then Bobby came up with a good idea today because I was, you know, I just want to come here and do Bengals, right? But a lot of people don't want Bengals. So Bobby said, why don't you do something we used to do back in the day? You can call and ask me anything. And I don't like that. All right, so you can call and ask me anything. So that might go over like a lead balloon. It might be entertaining. It might be funny. You don't have to ask me anything if you don't want to. It can't be super personal. It can't be like, you know, my wife's phone number. You won't get that. But you can. It's not my son's date of birth. I won't give you that. But if you want to ask me something about radio, about life, about music, about the Raiders, about anything, let it fly. We'll do that today for an entertaining hour because I'm covering a 2-6 football team. I'm covering a 2-6 football team, and I never slow down. I never let up. We don't do cheeseburgers and movies. The other day I was driving home from this show, and these dopes, I mean dopes. You got to be pretty stupid on Halloween to rank Halloween candy. I'm literally driving on this. The Dodgers won the World Series. We're not talking about July when the dead zone. They were grading Halloween candy and drafting Halloween candy. And I said, oh, my God, that's why they are who they are and I am who I am. Look, we have fun. But then again, if I was sitting in my backyard with my best buddies, they wouldn't do Halloween candy talk. My guys are like into music and sports and cool stuff. Maybe some politics, which we leave off the show. Imagine being so bleeping lame that you're going to grade Halloween candy. But that's what happens in this business. Program director said, no, you don't have to talk sports on sports radio. Then can I leave sports radio and go do what Howard Stern did or go to political radio? No, you can stay in sports and talk about whatever you want. And Bobby knows I have a clock in my head. And whenever I start talking about something that isn't sports, a clock goes off. 10, 9, 8, get back to sports. I'm a stick to sports guy because I'm in sports radio. And I'm amazed that so many shows now have 7 guys who don't want to talk sports and they don't want to leave sports radio. They just want to talk about non-sports. That happened in my career in radio just recently. So we're going to stick to sports mostly. But if you want to dive in on anything else today, We're having one of those Fridays here that you can do that. 702-365-9200. 702 is our area code in Las Vegas. 365-9200 is a real easy number because we're on 920 a.m. So you can call in and sound off like you got a pair. If you're upset about the Raiders, please call or contribute or go into our YouTube chat at JT the Brick YT. I'll just read you a little bit here. The fluffer says JPJ will start. Yes, that's breaking news. Jackson Powers Johnson will start. Andre James is out. I like Andre. I'll talk about him more next hour. He's great to my son. We went to the Max Crosby Foundation event at UFC Apex, and my son was with me, and Andre James talked to him in the hallway for like 20 minutes. I said, that's all I needed. Now I'm a fan of Andre James. Good player. He's not Jim Otto, right? He's not Jim Otto, but he's not Dave Dalby. He's a good player. And now Jackson Powers Johnson, who was an elite center, elite in college at Oregon, will get the start. Will it be too much for him? I doubt it. I doubt it, but this is a big deal for him. He's playing on the road in Cincinnati. Trey Hendrickson's on the other side of the ball. That guy's a machine. So the offensive line has been a weakness for the Raiders this year. I said it. You know it. I just said it. It's a weakness to this team is the offensive line. And as we often talk on this platform, you know, every year in the preseason or in training camp or the draft, everybody says the cool thing. We got to build the offensive line back up again. No, we don't do that here. We don't. We go with rookie right tackles every year, former regime, and now we have rookie right tackles. Okay, why not the veteran guys who played 7 years and pay them a little bit more because they're veterans and they played against all these guys. We go with rookies, and then we got injuries. So our offensive line is a weakness to this team, and they're great guys, and they probably will get better, and a couple of them will be invited back. But the offensive line's done us no favors this year. Because the quarterback can't spend any time in the pocket because he has no time. Because the offensive line is getting blown up and thrown backwards. You ever watch Brian Baldinger from NFL Network? He does a lot with the Condor, Max Crosby. He does a lot of isolation on offensive line. He don't show much on the Raiders O-line. He shows Chris Jones and Hendrickson and T.J. Watt blowing up our offensive line. And then our quarterback has no time to throw the ball. So our offensive line is a weakness, and that will be fixed by Tom Telesco. The second thing, which is a weakness to this team this year, has been the edge rushing, other than Max Crosby, because Malcolm Kuntz has been gone for the year. And when you look at a player that was drafted number 7 overall in Tyree Wilson, he gets one sack, and people want to throw a party, like it's a kid's birthday party for one sack. I'm like, what's going on here? One? How about 11 sacks at this time of year? How about getting after the quarterback? Someone other than Max. Robert Spillane, who I saw in the building on Wednesday, he is working through an injury. It looks like he'll play. Antonio Pierce mentioned that earlier. That guy's a warrior. That guy's tough. So that's another topic I want to get to in the monologue brought to you by Golden Entertainment. As they own the Stratosphere, and there's a lot happening. People say, JT, do you have a hookup for a room? I said, yeah, call the Strat. The rooms have all been redone. All been redone. The lobby's been redone. You can eat off the floors. It's gorgeous. But you haven't been there. If you haven't been there in a while, the pool is unbelievable. It looks back at Red Rock. It's incredible, but you got to go there to see it. Go to the Strat, proud partner here of our show as we open it up. So other than the World Series, which was a big topic for me this week, the other topic was me, Game of Thrones, fighting off the dragons of the Raider Nation who want to quit. And that's a topic that I've been beating up a little bit, and I told Bobby, we're going away for the bye week. Less of me is good. Not hearing me on the radio for chunks is good. My wife not hearing me in the kitchen is good. Okay, my friends getting a break from me is good. I know that. I'm very aware of that. So I'm going to take off next Tuesday to Saturday, go see my folks. And then we're going to come back here after the bye week, and we're going to know everything. We're going to know everything. We're going to know if this team's going to play hard to the wire or if this team, I'll never say check out because I've never seen a Raider team check out. I don't mean that. Or if this Raider team will have an aggressive momentum win against Cincinnati to not get back in the playoff race. That's almost impossible to do. It would take a miracle, but strange things happen. What is going to be the demeanor of the Raiders right before the bye week? I'm talking about second quarter, 4 minutes to go. Get where I'm going here? And then coming off the bye week, how's the team going to look as we head to Miami? And I think this is a defining moment for this roster coaching staff going forward right now because of the Jets last night. Let me explain. The Jets last night play under much more scrutiny than the Las Vegas Raiders. The Las Vegas Raiders are never on television anymore. Stephen A. doesn't talk about them. NFL Live doesn't do breakdowns on them. No one gives the Raiders any credit. NFL Today, NFL This Morning, NFL After Dark, inside the NFL, they don't mention the Raiders, and they got one of the biggest brands in the world. They play in a new stadium, and they are in Vegas, the sports and entertainment capital of the world. They don't give us any credit. Nor do we deserve it at this point with a 2-6 record. So that should be enough motivation for this team to be so bleeping pissed off that they go into Cincinnati to win a game. And they go into Cincinnati because they're professionals. They get paid a lot of them millions upon millions of dollars. They're putting every play they do on tape. And they're playing for a legacy. Because as you've seen this year with the Marcus Epps injury, the Christian Wilkins injury, the Malcolm Kuntz injury, one injury could be the last play of your career. So why wouldn't you play your ass off? You might never play again. God forbid, you might never play again in the NFL. So shouldn't you go balls out on every play? Shouldn't you be hustling to the ball on the other side of the field? Yeah, and the Raiders do that because their head coach is accountable in Antonio Pierce. Earlier this year, he gave you a comment about business decisions. That was because Jack Jones, at least Jack Jones, wasn't flying to the football, wasn't tackling, wasn't doing his job physically playing football. So he sat out a little bit. I thought there were other people who were prone to business decisions, just not tackling aggressively enough, not doing their jobs aggressively enough. But overall, I think everybody's pretty good. A.J. Cole, great player. We mentioned Max Spillane, Jacorian Bennett, wait till I get to his stats. In the second hour of the broadcast today. Oh, my God, Jacorian Bennett's stats? They're up there. They're up there big. Pro Football Focus, right? So why wouldn't everybody ball out every time they take the field? Because the record. The record takes your will away to get up 10 minutes earlier, to stay 20 minutes late. It's like that in everything in life. I tell my sons, one's a senior in college, the other one's working. He's working hard. He's a good worker. He gets up and works. And I'm proud of him for that. When I was 17 years old and I went to college and I graduated at 21, went right to being a stockbroker, I was working 14 hours a day, making 300 cold calls a day. It's in my book, The Handoff. It's not fake, it's real. They called me a cold call cowboy. I outworked everyone in the room. I got 300 prospects, 20 qualified leads. I got my car. I opened 10 new accounts every month. By 21 years old, I was driving a Porsche. I was making six figures at 21 years old. Not because of my talent, definitely not because of my brains. It was because I outworked everybody. I got into radio, and I said, give me more, give me more, give me more. I'm doing 5 hours overnight. Give me Pete Rose's show. Give me more. I'll do 2 hours a day. I got to the Bay Area. They printed shirts out. The hardest working man in sports radio. 8 hours a day. It's never been done since. 8 hours a day, noon to three, 9 to 2 in the morning. Do the math. And I still think I work. Try to work, outwork everybody. Everybody I can if I can. So that's my concept in life. And I do radio. It's very easy. I'm not a fireman. I'm not a police officer. I'm not in the military. I don't lay electrical wire. I don't do anything difficult. My job is to bring passion and energy every day. Bring 100% passion and energy. Be right or wrong, but have conviction. That's it. That's all I get paid to do and show up. That's it. And that's all it is. And when it gets tough and people come up to me, oh, how tough is it, JT? I go, excuse me, it's not tough. Well, it's tough. They lost a game. It sucks. It does suck when they lose, but it's not difficult. So what I do, I always dip the show in reality. What I do, you could do. If you chose to do it, you chose to do something else. So I want to win every game. I want to win every play. I want to win every game. I never want to lose. And I will never let that come into my life. I won't allow people to be around me like that. I won't allow it. I won't allow it in my home. I won't allow it with my sons. I don't allow it. If you're a loser and you want to lose and you want to tank and you don't like it and you want to quit, you're a quitter. Get away from me. Doesn't mean you can't listen to the show. Doesn't mean you can't come into the chat. Doesn't mean you can't drive me nuts on Twitter. I got a job to do for this team, to set up a radio show with good guests and insiders and find a way to win the game. I am not at the point with finding a way to lose the game for some mystical figure who might show up with the first pick in the draft for the Raiders that you don't know and I don't know who's going to be. When we get there, I'll have the answer for you. I'll have the pick for you. I normally do for you. I have the pick. I know the pick before the draft. I have good insight on that over the years. And hopefully it'll be a great player in the first round. That's in April. That's in April. Today's November 1st. November 1st. And I got people who are coming after me hard about losing, pushing me back. They never do it in person because they don't exist. But they really want to lose. And thank God I work for an organization in the Raiders who have a commitment to excellence. That doesn't mean they're winning games now. That doesn't mean that. I know they're losing games. I know they're not playing well. I know all the mistakes they're making, but there is a commitment to excellence. This is not a fake brand. Al Davis built it, and it lasted, and it's in Canton, Ohio, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yeah, there's been a 20-year stretch since Gannon where it's been tough. I've been there for all 20 of them, but it's going to turn around. It's going to turn around, and we just don't know when. We'd like it sooner than later. So let's focus on the Bengals and beating the Bengals to bring some joy to some of the kids who are 8, 9 years old and want to win. Remember when you were that age? You didn't really care about, you didn't know. When you were 8 or 9 years old, you didn't understand the draft. You didn't know the months of the year where the draft was. You had no idea. You just wanted to win. You wanted your Raiders to win. I wanted my Yankees to win this week. I got gut punched. You just want to win. So let's focus on beating the Bengals and what it will take. I think I got a good broadcast lined up today on how to beat the Bengals. The stats, what's working, what's not, what to do. So I'll give you a piece of that as we're waiting for people to match my energy at 702-365-9200. I mean, if this was a pizza parlor and I made 6 pizzas in advance, I'd have to throw the pizza out because no one's ready. It's hot, fresh. It's piping hot. No one's ready but me. So let me tell you how the Raiders can win the game. Number one, they got to get the ball to Brock Bowers. They cannot let him down again. They let him down. They let him down. I said it on every platform this week. Brock Bowers, you ready for this? Went 39 minutes without a target. Holy crap. 39 minutes without a target, and people are trying to explain it? There's no explanation. You failed him. You didn't call a play to him. You didn't give him a handoff. You didn't give him a screen behind the line of scrimmage. You didn't give him a fade. You didn't throw it to him in the end zone. You failed Brock Bowers. Don't do it again. Just don't do it again. Fix it. You can't go to the microphone and say we're doing good things when you're on a 4-game losing streak. This is 2024. There's Twitter, there's TikTok, there's Instagram. You can't go to a microphone and saying we're doing good things and good things are happening. No, it's not. You went 39 minutes not getting the ball to Brock Bowers. Come on. No, that's not accurate. Number two, you want the identity to be a running team. I get it. You got to run the ball a little bit. Now we're down to a little bit. Do we all agree on that? Let's not be stupid and say we're not going to run the ball. Please. Please give me some IQ. Don't tell me we're not going to run the ball. We have to run the ball. But let's stop running it a bunch. Whatever the number is, run it 3 less times. That'll be a start. That'd be 3 more throws to Jacoby and Brock or DJ Turner or Trey. So that's number 2 on how to beat Cincinnati. Here's a whopper. Here's a big one. Why don't we throw the ball deep once? Just throw it out of bounds. I'm dead serious. First play of the game, Gardner, 5-step drop, step into a throw. Throw it 40 yards out of bounds down the sideline. Don't even throw it in bounds. Just tell the Bengals that, hey, we're going to throw it deep today. It's incomplete, but we just want to let you know we threw the ball. Now, being lighthearted, throw it in bounds, it would be good. But I'm trying to make a point, and I'm trying to signify that point by going over the top. Let's throw the ball deep because we have these smaller receivers that were hired to run deep routes and we don't throw deep routes. Well, there's an excuse to that too, Bobby. Well, we don't have enough time. We don't have enough time. Give me a break. Rich Gannon threw bombs 20 yards. 20 yards. Someone, Jerry, beat a guy 3 yards. The ball went 20 yards in the air. It was a bomb. Let's get back to the Gannon bombs. 20 to 30 yards. Right? Just throw one. Just throw one so I can get on the postgame show and go, they threw a bomb. It was incomplete. Oh, they got a flag. Bingo. There it is. Bingo. Bobby said bingo. Pass interference, number 33 defense, first down. How is that not in the playbook? Okay. Finally, Mr. Positivity here, Mr. Sunshine. Finally, Can we please, please put our hands on someone? I mean, I felt embarrassed. I failed you last week. I talked to the head coach. I talked to everyone. I said, can we please slow down, Kelce, put our hands on him? They never put their hands on him, literally. And the middle of the field was wide open, wide open. Let's get the middle of the field figured out now, gentlemen. That would be Divine Diablo. And we don't play a lot of linebackers. We play Spillane and Diablo. Remember 2 games ago, Nate Hobbs had a great game? Did Nate have a great game against Kansas City? No. Can Nate have a great game in Cincinnati? I hope he can. He's a great player, potentially. So that's just some of what I have here as I open up the show. If you'd like to contribute, 702-365-9200, that's my keys to the game. Figure out the middle of the field on defense, throw a bomb, get Brock the ball, don't run as much. Really simple. I really think I should be on NFL Live. This Mike Tannenbaum, what an idiot. He wanted to trade Myles Garrett for 3 first-rounders. He's getting skewered today. You could have put me with a suit on, flew me to New York, and I would have sat on NFL Live, and they would have looked at me and said, who's that guy over there? Did you hear what he just said about the Raiders-Cincinnati game? Hire him. He just gave you the perfect breakdown. That's the breakdown, man. Play better. We're going into the bye week in week 9. We haven't played a good football game this year. We have not played a good football game the entire year. We played 12 minutes against Baltimore. 12 minutes in the fourth quarter and won a great game. Can we play a complete game? And the positive side of this is the last 4 games, all the games we lost, we either had the lead or were tied, right? We had the lead or tied in the first quarter. So we showed up. The bus didn't break down on Russell Road. They came out ready to play. They were really ready to go. So I'd like to see that. Just play good again early. Don't hold on. Did you see what they did against Kansas City at the end of the half? They didn't want to score. They wanted to milk the clock and go to halftime. We're 2-5. We're 2-5. What are we doing wanting to just get to halftime? Why are we scared? Or not scared, that's not a good word. Why were we intimidated on letting Kansas City have the ball again? Who cares? And then they get the ball and they get a field goal. Oh, but then we come out and we go 3-and-out. Come on, guys, you're a good team. This is a good football team. They are not a bad football team. They're a good football team that has massive injuries. And they can win with this personnel. But they got to play better football. That's a monologue brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, my go-to vodka. I have a Tito's on the rocks, a Tito's and soda, Tito's and cranberry, wherever you like it. Tito's, the original handmade vodka. That's a hell of a monologue. And now we're good. So I'm going to have a bucket, a Modelo's for Bobby and I afterwards at some point. Let's go. Someone get in here and set the tone. I just got shut out in 23 minutes. It's an embarrassing joke. Let's get something going here. This ain't a podcast. It's a radio show on the flagship of the Raiders in a city that's supposedly the sports and entertainment capital of the world. You should just do Dodger talk today, Bobby. A Dodger parade is insane. Oh, my God. The helicopter view of what I'm looking at? Wow. Doyes. Dodgers win. Yeah, they're saying go Dodgers. Vic Tafer will join us coming up here in about 5 or 6 minutes from The Athletic. Stick around for that.
Momentum, confidence, a lot. I mean, you don't want to have a loss and then sit for 2 weeks, right? You don't want that to linger, especially that would be the 5th game in a row. So we're not looking forward to that at all. I think the guys had the right mindset, the right attitude, the right focus yesterday was really good for us from that standpoint. The energy is good, and they understand the task that we got in front of us on the road against, you know, obviously a good offense and a good team that, you know, for the last couple of years has been in the playoffs.
Yeah, Coach nailed it. I think Antonio Pierce nailed it. You'll hear my conversation with him next hour. You don't want to go into the bye week on a loss. That's a bummer. Bye week on a win kind of gets you to pack your stuff, get to the airport. A lot of guys stay here. A lot of guys live here in Vegas. But this is a good time of year to get away. So right after the game on Sunday, they fly from Cincinnati to Vegas. Not a short flight, but not long. They land, they get to their cars at the Raider facility, and then they're gone. unless they need treatment and have some injuries, they're gone. And they're gone. And they're gone the following week. And then the next week they come back and they're ready to go again. And I think this team needs some time away. I do. Been around this team 27 seasons. I've been through my share of bye weeks where they started earlier. This is about as late as you could have it. But I really believe this team needs a bye week at this time because they have so many injuries and they're fried from losing four in a row. They need a bye week. But they got to win a game as we bring in Vic Tafer, who's got a lot of good content to get to here from The Athletic. So, Vic, good to talk to you and your column, Why the Raiders Are Expected to Stand Pat at the Trade Deadline. What'd your story tell about that, and what are you seeing behind the scenes?
Yeah, you know, sometimes they look at teams, are they buying, are they selling? And I don't think the Raiders are doing either one. I think they made a Devontae Adams trade because they kind of had to. But I think they're still looking at this as, you know, it's not a fire sale. You're not really trying to get rid of what players you have left. I think they're looking towards next year, maybe getting some of these guys back healthy and kind of, you know, the main thing is get a quarterback at some point in the offseason and kind of go from there. So I don't see them doing much on Tuesday.
As you reported today at practice and with Spillane's injury, he'll miss practice again today with the knee injury. And overall, Jackson Powers Johnson going to play center. How banged up is this team? I thought they were getting healthier along the way, but that injury report is still pretty big.
Yeah, it is. Even Max Crosby, he's been full the last couple of days, but today he missed practice with an ankle injury, but he'll definitely play. But clearly he's not 100%. You mentioned Spillane, who will, I have to imagine, everyone thinks he'll play. He's kind of a nut job who doesn't really care about his body, which is good for a football guy, but he'll play. And so the big guy who's missing is Andre James, of course, and I think Dylan Parham is questionable.
Yeah, the offensive line, Vic, has there been anything that you've seen from the press box down to the locker room and at practices that could be encouraging? DJ Glaze, you know, the young guys are making some false start mistakes and, you know, getting downfield when they shouldn't be. But is there a light at the end of the tunnel with this offensive line?
Yeah, I think so. I think you mentioned Glaze and even Powers, you know, Johnson have been good at times. Obviously, there's a learning curve, I think, especially you mentioned the penalties. But definitely see flashes of what they can be. And I think at this point, let those guys play, let them grow into, you know, the future starters and kind of guys who kind of become your foundation pieces. I think Jordan Meredith has been a nice surprise. He's filled in well at guard, and he's definitely in the mix now going forward. So I think, you know, there's definitely been struggles and the injuries, and the running game is still not where it has to be. But at least there's some signs that maybe there's, like you mentioned, a light at the end of the tunnel.
Vic Tafer is our guest. Vic, did you get an ample answer to why Brock Bowers was missing for 39 minutes after getting off to a good start with no targets?
I really didn't. I was trying to also, but I just think apparently the Chiefs didn't do anything special to take him away, and apparently he was still part of the game plan. It just kind of, happened. But in my mind, it really can't just happen. I mean, he's like, you know, he's also shown the ability to make tough catches in traffic. So if he is covered, maybe he's not really covered. So I just think it's a glitch you got to fix. You can't have those that you mentioned, like 2.5 quarters. He might not have not touching the ball. So that's got to be an area you fix going forward.
Vic Tafer is our guest. You know, Vic, the other big thing that I see here is that Gardner Minshew, he makes a couple of big splashy plays, but they don't go back to that play or they go back to the run. And we've talked a lot. You've been kind with your time with the show and even in Costa Mesa. They didn't have a chance to run it well. I thought Zamir White was going to have a big year. Did I get that one wrong? But the offensive line with the injuries and not being able to, with this technique of their blocking, they still can't find their way. Do you think the running attempts go down? Because I think the attempts should go down. I know AP wants to be a guy that wants to run and be tough and run right at teams, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I actually asked Antonio on Monday at some point he's pulled the plug. Because, you know, the one time, I mean, I know theoretically you can't pass the ball every down, but, you know, the best success came in Baltimore in the second half, and they pretty much threw the ball every down. So I think at some point the guy realized it's just not there. I know you mentioned Zamir. I'm not sure what happened there. He was hurt, but really not I'm not comfortable with the new scheme. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But I mean, Madison's fine, but Madison's not really a guy you can lean on to be a bell cow kind of guy. So you kind of need both those guys in there at some point. But I'm with you. I would throw the ball more often. I would I know Gardner's got, league-high 11 turnovers, but I think you got to go with that and hope for the best.
And the big disappointment for me this week, and I get behind, you know, as a radio guy, whoever they put out there at quarterback, but I wanted to see Desmond Ridder start in this game. I think, you know, I don't want to compare everything to Baker Mayfield getting the playbook and winning 18 hours later with a playbook. I'm talking about Desmond Ridder now having the playbook and playing in Cincinnati where he's a rock star in that city. They love him there. I think it would have added a little bit of juice. Am I wrong?
I'm not sure with that one, but I tell you what, I think you may see him. I think they're definitely going to be a run option package for him. I think so. I think you get a taste of him, and I think he'll play sooner than later if Gardner keeps throwing interceptions. I know Gardner didn't have any last week, which is a good sign, but clearly that's going to be what he's judged on. I think he can't turn the ball over anymore, and I think if he does, you might see Desmond starting after the bye.
Yeah, I was going to follow up with that. And no matter what, I think the Raiders can win this game, but they're playing a really good opponent that hasn't won at home, and their pulse is still alive that, you know, Ridder could play right after the bye week. And Vic, you know, as we wrap this up, I think what's really important for me is the Jets last night. The Jets were on life support, 2-6, same record as the Raiders. They played balls out because they're trying to save their season. They got an 18% chance to get to the playoffs. Their schedule's easier than the Raiders, but the way they had their body language, they came out, they played like they had to win the game. That's what I expect from the Raiders. Do you expect that type of effort where it's do or die? It's like a real elimination game for them.
Yeah, I do think the effort's been good, and I think it'll be good again this weekend. But I do kind of wonder and worry about, you know, the bye week's coming up. I think there's one eye on the bye week. I think, and Pierce mentioned today, the chance to reset the whole thing. So I think, you know, I have a feeling the focus may be more on the bye week than on the Bengals.
How do you rank, last one, Cincinnati as a travel city for entertainment, food, beverages? Are you a fan of Cincinnati, or are there other markets that are much higher on your list?
Yeah, I'm not really a huge fan. I got to tell you, I think everyone there loves the Skyline Chili. That's not for me. You kind of hang to wherever you go, and I kind of pass on that. So I'm not a huge Cincinnati guy. It's not. I mean, there's always a fun bar somewhere in every town.
Yeah.
But it's not high on my list of places to go during the season.
Thank you, Vic. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Appreciate you.
All right, boss. Take care.
All right, Vic Tafer from The Athletic. There's I went to Cincinnati on – so I've been traveling with the Raiders 27 years, but not a lot anymore. Because we anchor the pre and post, Eric Allen and I stay back. So I'm going to Miami. I've been to Cincinnati once. And, you know, as much as a Pete Rose guy as I am, I'm not a big Cincinnati guy. It's one of those cities in America, Bobby, that kind of, let me be careful here, it kind of gets lost. Like, you don't say, I want to go on vacation to Cincinnati. You say, I want to go on vacation to L.A., New York, New Orleans, Vegas, Seattle. Right, you want to go to those cities. I don't know anybody who's ever said, I got nothing going on next week. I'm going to go on vacation to Cincinnati. Some go to Louisville, and they go on, you know, these whiskey trail, bourbon tasting. I get that. But not a lot of people are saying, I'm circling Cincinnati as the place they want to go to. So I don't know much about Cincinnati. I've only been there once. And there's not many places in the United States that I can say that have an NFL team that I've only been to once. I've only been to Kansas City twice. Very early in my career when we were winning with Gannon, one of those. And then I think like 10 years ago because I never found, I had nothing to do with the team. I never found Kansas City to be a place where I just, oh man, I can't wait to go to Kansas City. I just didn't like that. Now the cities I love in order, New Orleans number one, just not because of the bars and all that. I love the music and I love walking a city. And there's nothing better than New Orleans. It could get grimy. It could get grimy. It could get dirty. Depending on where you're at. But Cincinnati, we're going to Miami. I love Miami because it's Miami, and I don't live in Miami. So if any chance I get to go to Miami, I'm going to try to go. Miami's high on my list. The other ones are Seattle. Seattle, you can go to see a Raider game. We usually play them in the preseason. But if you go to Seattle and you hit the weekend right and the weather clicks, man, that's a fun city. There's just a lot to do. Great restaurants, great bars. You catch some music. That's pretty good. And then I think one of the worst cities is where I'm from, New York, because they don't play in New York. They play in New Jersey. They play in a dump in East Rutherford, New Jersey. There's nothing good about it. Now, the Raiders used to stay in New York. Now they stay in New Jersey. So it's just a pain in the ass. You got to take an Uber. You got to do that. And, oh, thank you. Got it right there. Buffalo. Buffalo is awesome. Awesome to go to Buffalo. Buffalo's got the bars. Got the food, the wings, because you keep it simple. If you go to Buffalo, you stick with the pizza and the wings, maybe a little pasta. You don't go there to try something different. The bars are great. The fans are amazing. The fans are incredible. They welcome you. And last on my list, the number one JT the Brick travel city in America for football, by far, Green Bay. If you haven't gone to Green Bay, you must put it on your bucket list. And if the Raiders aren't going, go see another team. Because once you get to Green Bay and you're driving through that town and you're driving through neighborhood blocks, neighborhoods, and then all of a sudden you look up and Lambo's there, and right across the street from the parking lot, there's just little houses like there are in your old hometown. Little houses there, and you go, this is amazing. The fans are great. They give you the shirt off their back. They give you the food and drink. You go in there, you go through their Hall of Fame, which is amazing. You get a chance to be a part of history, and it's always fun. Tough to get out of. You might have to fly out of a town called Appleton. Yeah, you might have to fly out of Appleton to get out of there if you're not, or Milwaukee. But I like to get on the Raider plane and get out of there after the game. It's tough to get in and out of there. All right, we are here on Friday. Next hour, my conversation with Rich Gannon. We haven't had the Gannon conversation. He was good. He was salty. He was salty a little bit because, you know, Rich wants the Raiders to win. He really does. So that we'll get to that, and we'll talk about more of this Dodger parade coming up on the other side. I'm still shut out, huh, Bobby?
Oh, yeah.
I'm shut out today. Really, shut out on the phones. That only happens in the summer. Are we on the bye week? Did I miss the plane? Are we on the bye week? Oh, we got a game. Cincinnati. Okay. All right. Good to know. 702-365-9200. The flagship of the Raiders. Brought to you by the 872 laborers who build this city on time and on budget.
Well, I think, you know, this league, you know, anytime you're in this league and it's a challenge, you got great players on every team. So every down, every first down, every touchdown is hard to get. And I think that's no different this year to any other year. I think, you know, we're in a new system. We got the new players, first time head coach. We're all working together to get this thing, to get this ship righted, to get this thing going in the same direction. And, you know, it's a process that continues to improve, you know, the game day communication, to the practice, the way we practice, and the expectations every single day and on the game day and all that stuff. I think all of that stuff is just continuing to get better. And I think that's the challenge. Anytime you're a new operation, you have a lot of things to work through. And I think, you know, I just see us getting better each and every week as we go through these processes.
Yeah, that soundbite's getting a lot of pushback because it doesn't look like they're getting better every week. So I give Luke Getsy credit. He went to the podium to say that. I give credit to people who speak and tell you and look you in the eye. And Getsy's did that, but I don't agree with it. It doesn't feel like it's getting better. But you know who it's getting better for? Mark Jones. The leader of the Black Hole, what a business model he put together, the community, the Raiders, what he's doing, and we got an announcement to make because we're going into the bye week, and then we got a party after that. How are you, Mark?
JT, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, good to talk to you. And the Black Hole, I know you're frustrated. You're doing the victory march. You're doing everything. You got multiple tailgates going on. Whiskey, you're everywhere in the parking lot. You're there at the game, but the team isn't winning. So how's the Black Hole holding up?
Well, you know, I mean, I think really the foundation that we have, you know, in the fan base in the Black Hole, I mean, you know, we're not newbies. You know, we've all been around for a long time. And, yeah, it's really frustrating. It's very hard. But unfortunately, you know, we've endured some hard times. But we've also seen 3 world championships, so we know it's possible. So, you know, we're going to be here for whether there's, you know, 40 people or, you know, 40,000. You know, we're going to be here for the people that want to come here and have a good time in Las Vegas with the game, and that's why we have a really, really good time before the game, JT, because, you know, that way we make sure we get our money's worth when we come to town. So
yeah, and you've been right about that, Mark. The Black Hole, I compare it to my radio show. That's why it's been a great partnership. I'm going to bring the same energy, no matter what the record is, no matter what the opponent, and it's the same thing with your business model, which is global. You got fans who are coming in to see you in Cincinnati. You got to have boots on the ground in the Black Hole and the chapters there doing their, you know, you might get the Raiders there once every 6-7 years or 4 years. The Black Hole's got to be ready to welcome those fans, throw a party, and bring everyone together. That's why I love it.
Yeah, you know, and we're going to have probably close to 60 chapters now worldwide by the end of this year. And, you know, I will tell you that, you know, even though the team's record is not the greatest, the fan base record is undefeated. Mm-hmm. These fans, I mean, listen, everybody shows up every game. Everybody, like, gives their heart and soul to this team. And that's why we're going to announce what we're going to announce today about Miami, because we're going to basically throw something real special for the fans out in Miami. We want every Raider fan to come out here for it, to celebrate just the camaraderie and the fellowship of Raider fans, and just, you know, coming out and having a great time and enjoying and doing what we do best out there. And we're really proud to have you be a part of that.
Yeah, I'm happy to be there, too. I'm going to Miami. I got friends and boots on the ground there, too. So let's talk about what we have together in Miami. We got an iconic location, and that's the big announcement here, where we're going to be, where the Black Hole's going to have the party in Miami all weekend.
Well, you know, I think everybody, from the tremendous feedback we got last year, the Clevelander has invited us back with open arms. We just had a tremendous time out there last year. I think everybody who was out there last year would agree with that. And we're going to make it bigger and better and more affordable than ever also this year, too. So we're working some real, you know, big deals on some discounts and hotel rooms. We'll be promoting all that stuff coming out over the weekend here and all through next week. But we really want to make this a celebration for the fans this year, and doing something special. We can all get together and celebrate each other, because it's one of the great things with the Black Hole. It's where friends become family. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a big family here. And even though we're going through some tough times, that's when we band together. And that's when we do some stuff like this to celebrate ourselves and celebrate the work that we've all put in this year. You know, because it doesn't go unnoticed. And we appreciate everybody's support and help in building this foundation back here for Raider Nation.
Mark Jones, head of the Black Hole Global, joins us. So anybody who wants to go to Miami, got the bye week to make plans, anybody on the East Coast listening or in Vegas. So what happens when we get to Miami with the Clevelander, the festivities, the tailgate on game day? So give us a big picture of what we're doing out there.
Well, it's going to start with a Friday night welcoming party. We're going to have a Saturday night party. It's basically going to be a party from Friday until we leave on Sunday. We got so many things going on right now, because last year was awesome, and we're trying to make this, like, just ridiculous this year. So, you know, again, this is really a celebration for the fans. We're going to be announcing all this stuff as soon as we get everything finalized for it, but it's going to be it's going to be one thing, one game you don't want to miss this year is going to be the game of Miami. Trust me on that.
So Miami, it's a home base for Miami is the Clevelander, the great bar there in South Beach, from Friday all the way through. And for those who don't have tickets to the game, there'll be a watch party there too.
Huge watch party. In fact, you know, I stayed behind last year and did a watch party with everybody, and it was absolutely a ball. You know, obviously we have great sponsors like Modelo and everybody else who just steps up to the plate and just really, you know, makes it special for our fans out there. And, like I said, we got some stuff we're doing this year that's going to be even bigger and better, so we're really looking forward to it.
All right, so all the social media, go to the Black Hole website. Where can everybody find this, the app? Just go right to the Black Hole. We'll have all the details.
Yeah, just go right to theblackhole.com, click on events, and you'll see the Miami event in there too, and that's going to be updated with all the new events and all the different things that we're adding to what we already kind of had before in here. So, yeah, it's going to be great.
Thank you, Mark. We'll see you out there.
All right. Thank you, JTC.
You got it. Mark Jones, head of the Black Hole. So I'm proud to partner with them. We've done some big parties, New Orleans. You know, I've done parties over the years, and this is the party this year in Miami. I, in association with the Black Hole, we are joining up with this radio show. We're going big. We're going to have the Clevelander, which is crazy. I mean, how many spring break movies were filmed at the Clevelander, right? How many great events there? You can't miss it. So spread the word. We'll have some social media that we'll put out along the way, and a lot of traveling to do, Bobby. I got to go to Florida, back to Vegas, back to Miami. That's a long one, but it's going to be good. So we're going to get in there Friday, Saturday. You'll find me at the Clevelander in Miami, and then probably have to go clean up and then go back to the Clevelander and go have a good time there. But there's a lot to do there in South Florida. A lot of Raider fans that are going to be here. All right, so Bobby's telling me, what do we got? So we're going to have a little of me talking to other people from early in the week as I sit here, but I think it's the best content that we have here on Friday. So I do a little mix and match. My conversation with the coach, because I sit down with the coach and I'm proud of that. He's going to join us. We're going to have my conversation from Wednesday, our Rich Gannon conversation, more on this Dodger parade. I just got a text from my buddy Brent, who's at the parade. It's insane. They have it's Dodger Stadium sold out. So everybody, season ticket holders are all in there. And they're showing the video of it. They got a great day for the weather. Now, I didn't think my Yankees after they were down 3-0 were going to win, but I thought they'd be playing baseball tonight. Tonight would be the game if they didn't blow that fifth inning, Bobby, that dreaded fifth inning that was brutal, absolutely brutal. All right, what does this say? Duber 5020 on the chat says, JT, on the subject of tanking, people say that are special. Everyone on the Raiders roster, with the exception of Max, are all auditioning for their jobs for next year and not going to tank. Well, breaking news. As I was interviewing Mark Jones, I just got a text from Max Crosby. Yeah, during the show, from Max Crosby. Going to be big Sunday. I'll just tell you that. Okay. Right here. Okay? So, again, I don't read text messages from people that send me text messages because they might not want it read on the air. But Max just reached out to me. I don't know if he's listening. I know he listens from time to time. He's ready to go. We're ready to go. We got another hour left here, and then we're going to roll. Last day to vote early, as I voted early. Voted at Desert Breeze. Not that nice. Nice, man. Walked in, very comfortable, nice people. Oh, what I wanted to share with you, Bobby. My son voted for the first time. As he was in line, there's probably 30 people in line. They all clapped inside. The voter, person in charge, he signed in. It said, first time voter, and everybody clapped. I thought that was really cool. So that's an experience I had with my son. Last Friday, we went to the Dodger game, Yankees, and I saw him get a round of applause for voting for the first time. One more hour to go before Q comes up an hour from now on the flagship of the Silver and Black.